Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. What else would it be on a Saturday at 10:03? Sorry, we're a bit late on that one. That was my fault. I was talking a little bit too much in the preamble. Pat, how are you doing, buddy?
I am doing fine. I'm a little, you know, I'm always a little bit tired when we do these on Saturdays. It's been a busy week.
It should be the sleep-in day, really, shouldn't it? And here we are, like, getting these things planned and ready. Hello to all our viewers and listeners and everybody in the chat. Good morning to everyone that's jumped in. Great to see all the cheese bags jumping in. your cheese bags. I've had an interesting couple of days, Pat. And it led to a very interesting discussion off camera with you, which I was very happy you didn't talk about prior to me having my wisdom tooth removed. Yes, I've had a wisdom tooth removed, guys, only a couple of days ago. And oddly enough, day three now, zero pain. Can you believe that? So we'll get to yours in a second. We'll get to your story in a second, Pat. But basically, I went in on the Thursday morning. I got like a couple of numbing injections, which was the worst part, was the injections. I've had a couple of injections in my mouth recently and didn't feel anything. These ones I felt, right? There was probably about three or four. And then once they'd done that, 10 minutes go by, gets a little bit numb. I could still feel my gum though with my tongue. So I was kind of like, I can definitely feel my gum. I can feel my gum. So I was a bit concerned that I was going to still feel it. Anyway, he comes back in. He says, we'll do a little test first. His little test was effectively wrenching my face off until the tooth came out. He basically put the thing around. He said, can you feel that? And it was like, I could tell. I couldn't feel anything. It was weird. But I could, like, the crunching and the movement. I know he was putting way too much. If I'd have been, like, had any feeling, I probably would have screamed in his face. But no, I was kind of like, no, that feels great. Like, as well as you could say when you've got, like, all these gear things in your mouth. Anyway, he eventually got it out. It only took a couple of minutes, which was good, right? Didn't take very long. That came out, cool, gauze in your mouth, all the aftercare information, off you go. I didn't get, like, put under. I didn't have any kind of, like, sleepy drugs or anything, just the numbing. Out it went. And it's been absolutely perfectly fine the whole time. And I keep telling people this, and they're like, I hate you. I hate you so much. Everybody I spoke to, was it Mindbender, says Leon Chan. did Mindbender do it? If Mindbender did it, I'd have some sort of like tentacles on my back right now, or I'd have the face of a wolf. That's what I would look like if Mindbender did it. There was a tiny bit of swelling.
So was your tooth all the way through like the gum already? It was showing?
Yeah, it was all the way. It was kind of like, right. So if you imagine this is two normal teeth going down like that, right?
Yeah.
My wisdom tooth at the back was kind of out of the gum quite a lot, probably about halfway down, but it was pushing into the other tooth at the back like that. So it was kind of wedged in there and it was causing all sorts of issues. It didn't actually hurt. Was it molar? It wasn't molar either from Masters of the Universe, guys. That was the thing. Now, I said this to Pat, and Pat said to me that he had a horrendous experience with his wisdom teeth. Tell us the story, mate.
Yeah, so I was probably about 17, and mine were all in my gums, but coming up underneath the other teeth. And so in the middle, like, they knocked me out, and in the middle of mine, I woke up because he cracked my jaw. Yeah.
What?
It was bad. Like, I wasn't able to shut my mouth for probably a little more than a month.
That is,
like,
insane.
You know, I could bend it a little bit, like, but I couldn't actually clench my teeth together for a little more than a month. The back one on this side actually is still crooked because of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you said they knocked you out, is that what broke your jaw? Did they like smack?
No. No. That might have been less painful though than the actual cracking of my jaw. I had a bruise on the side of my face that, because gravity does affect bruises. Like if you get a bruise, it will be, you know, further on down.
If it's a big enough and
around every day,
damaged enough bruise, then it's gonna.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it started, of course, up at my jaw, but then you could see it like over time down by my neck. By the time it was just like faint and in a little like yellow spot, it was down like right here.
Unreal. Unreal. Yeah. I can't believe they broke your jaw, man. That is awful.
It was bad. And then also,
there's more.
Maybe a little after like a few days or a week, like where they had sewn my gums shut, I looked inside my mouth because I had to take care of my teeth and stuff in the meantime. And the gums had started flapping. Like the seal, it was not connected anymore. The suture was not connected anymore. Yeah.
Oh.
Bad. It was bad.
My goodness. This week's podcast is going to be like pulling teeth, says Leon. Yeah, it is. We will move on now. It has taken a disturbing turn, Sammy. Apologies. Yeah, we will move on. Don't worry. And we have got quite a bit of news to get our teeth into.
Oh boy.
Amazing. I didn't even mean for that to happen. It just came out nice and smooth, just like my wisdom tooth, peeps. Anyway, yes, let's move on then, because this is hilarious and awful at the same time. Pat, I cannot believe you had to go through that. But anyway, what's the first news story, mate? Do you remember? Or do I have
to say? No, I don't even remember. Is it something with clues?
Kind of. It's in gaming news. Yes, that's right. We have yet another video game crossover for G.I. Joe, this time in the form of multiplayer online battle arena console game Smite. Smite has already had a number of crossovers with brands like TMNT, Magic the Gathering, and Transformers, so it scans that the Joes would be coming sooner or later. Skins for the new crossover include Duke and Cobra Commander for Hu Yi, Baroness and Scarlet for Neith, and Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow for Susano. The latest 10.4 update will be dropping on the 18th of April and is available globally on PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. I'm not totally familiar with the game, but the trailer shows that the G.I. Joe skins will follow the early classified designs for the characters mentioned previously. In addition to this, Gunship Battle Total Warfare has also been dropping hints in the form of clues for an upcoming G.I. Joe related event. The clues were of different crime scenes on warships that pointed the finger at Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, and that's exactly what it turned out to be when they semi-revealed the event coming very soon. The caption on the last reveal read, "The final chapter will commence. Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow, G.I. Joe versus Cobra, good versus evil. Who will win in the ultimate showdown? What will happen to the world of Gunship Battle Total Warfare? Coming soon. Promo code GO Arashikage GO. More details to follow soon." Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Right, yes, so here we are. Smite X G.I. Joe. Pat, I know this is going to be an interesting conversation because I know nothing about this game other than the one time I ever heard about it, which was when I think it was way back during one of those PulseCon events during the Transformers one, the Transformers section. Smite and Transformers were crossing over, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, interesting. But I didn't know what it was, never played it. And apparently it's just one of those things that it's about gods, I think, isn't it? And you play like different gods. And those particular gods, every now and again, they have crossover skins that they can wear. And that's what we have here.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's like a fighting game then?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess.
Like a turn-based fighting?
What's the description? It is a multiplayer online battle arena game. That's the term. I don't know. Yeah, MOBA, M-O-B-A. Multiplayer online battle arena. So, yeah, it's kind of like that. You can see on the video for the trailer, you can see kind of the gameplay and everything, that kind of like open plan. I don't even know what you'd call it, but like it's kind of like almost like a battle arena. You're moving around a lot. I suppose very similar to kind of like a Fortnite style, I guess.
Is it one of those top down games though? Like I don't.
Yeah. I want to say it's the God view. I'm not doing these puns on purpose.
This isn't a mobile game.
No, it's not a mobile game. It's a multiplayer online battle arena game. It's on. It might be on mobile, but it's on all the usual console setups.
I'm trying to remember which MOBA game. I have actually seen. Listen to me. I sound like an old guy. Like I've seen one of these games at some point. This just isn't the style of game that I've ever played. But yeah, this does. I do remember this. I do remember. I have seen a MOBA game before.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie Lynn Parks. He says it's sort of like Capture the Flag situation.
I think Dota is the game that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
And I don't remember what that even stands for.
Don't ask me. I get older and older every week. Every week we do another. Oh, they're doing another crossover thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not. I think that's out of my. It's out of my age range.
League of Legends. That's one of the ones that I've heard of. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, that I have definitely seen and played a little bit of. That's a good. I mean, we are back in, aren't we? This is the thing. Whenever there's a crossover, no matter how new or whatever point it lands in, it's always the core character hump, isn't it? We have to do. Obviously, we weren't getting Lightfoot skins, were we? Or Downtown.
Yeah, and I wonder how long they're going to, considering how the classified line has moved on from these designs, I really wonder how long we're going to continue getting games with these designs in them.
Yeah. Max, yes, I definitely am totally aware of that. That's why I use that example of Lightfoot, because that's exactly the situation. What I mean is, that was an exaggeration, I guess. What I mean is we always have to go through the core character hump, where there are even more characters just beyond that core character hump that we never quite get to. We never quite get to them because the crossover event finishes or whatever the situation may be. And we don't get to like really get into the. I mean, World of Tanks was probably the closest we'd come to, where it was kind of getting through some characters, and then we got to like Cover Girl.
Cover Girl's in there, yeah.
Yeah, and we had,
But they had a second crossover event too.
They had a few, didn't they?
And they had the tanks at one point, and then they did have more than two, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it was like Roadblock, Baroness, Cobra Commander, Duke. I mean, you're still on the core characters, but then, you know, we got like Cover Girl thrown in there as well. So it was like neat. And there was the Arctic Hiss, which was pretty dope as well. So we were getting like some interesting additional like tanks as well. Like the, you know, and the Wolverine was dope too. The Wolverine was kind of cool in World of Tanks because they added a barrel to it, like a gun, like a tank.
Oh, yeah, that's barrel. Right.
Which was really neat. So I like that addition to it, and think that's like that would be a cool upgrade if they ever did like a Wolverine, you know, kind of HasLab or something. I think that would be a really dope addition to it. Maybe like a stretch goal to change it, to kind of add it in. I don't know, but anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Yes, so that's your lineup, very much in the classified style of design. Storm Shadow is kind of, I didn't really, let's have a look at Storm Shadow because we'll get, now this is something completely different. So these are images that were kind of mocked up for the Smite G.I. Joe crossover by Yannick Paquette, who did the artwork, and Casey Edwards, who did the coloring. Casey was the one that posted these, by the way. So thank you, Casey, for posting these. These are awesome. So we've got Duke very much in his kind of classified kind of style there, but kind of like a more animated design. Scarlet's is interesting because it looks new, this, doesn't it? Like, this looks like multiple different versions of Scarlet that have kind of come together.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture which versions, though. It almost, maybe it reminds me of the Devils Do Scarlet a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of the old comic style. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, agreed. Then we've got Cobra Commander, it's the Regal classified design. Baroness is the classified design, and she's got her amazing snake cobra laser diamond laser gun,
yeah,
which is pretty cool as well. It wraps around her arm. Snake Eyes is clearly the deluxe Snake Eyes classified version. Mm-hmm. And then Storm Shadow looks to be again like a bit of an amalgamation of styles here, because it's not obviously the most recent Storm Shadow that came out, but it's got kind of like panels and other layers that like are kind of new here, like the shoulder guards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then he has a couple of the claws as well on his arms.
Yeah, they're dope. Anyway, really like those, and just wanted to kind of like throw them in the old mix for Smite. Now, is this a game that you're actually going to venture to try and play by any chance, Pat?
Probably not, to be honest. I was just, you know, sounding like some old person who's never seen a video game before when I was saying what a MOBA game is. So probably not.
Ray Murphy. Hello, Ray. The original classified designs look so outdated now. Determined to get use out of those JoPro devices. They've kind of aged by the fact that everything, all the design has changed again. But there does have that kind of feeling now to me, Pat, where the kind of like the Duke, the Roadblock, the Scarlet, specifically those, have got that kind of like what I feel is a movie Transformers effect, where they immediately date themselves almost, you know, as soon as they kind of arrived.
Sure. Yeah. It's meant to be updated, but it almost feels like it's very specifically not that character across time. It's just that character in that snapshot of that moment.
Jeremy says, Devil's Due is the best Joe designs ever. Fight me. We're not going to be fighting you right now, Jeremy, because I'm dealing with this. Pat's got PTSD from talking about his wisdom tooth removal. So, yeah, we don't want to lose any more teeth. So let's.
Plus, I really enjoy a lot of the Devil's Due designs.
There's some good ones, aren't there?
Yeah.
They kind of went in one of those. They kind of went in like, it wasn't like modern military. It was like a little bit futuristic, but very like, very almost like superhero-ish mixed in, well, wasn't it?
Eventually, yeah. Eventually they did get into a lot of, like, whenever they updated Dinah from the October Guard.
Yeah.
She looked very superhero-like. But, yeah, a lot of characters looked like they had that
spandex. It's like spandex underneath.
There was some spandex. Yeah. But early on, I don't really feel like they rushed to upgrade the or change the entire team either. You know, you had some characters that just kind of looked like they were their classic designs, and then Shipwreck that looked new. You know, it was, they didn't rush to change things.
I have to agree here with Max Blue. Still want tattooed Storm Shadow. Me too. I really want that tattoo though. I think it looks awesome.
I didn't like it personally. I just kind of think that the Urashikage tattoo needs to stand out. It kind of simply overcomplicates his tattoos where he has an entire sleeve of them.
Well, I just think it looks cool. And also, the thing is, for that argument, I would say you've got plenty of Storm Shadows that tick that box. One Storm Shadow that has a slightly different design isn't going to take away from the 500 Storm Shadows that exist. You know what I mean?
Don't disagree. But just sometimes when our things take off, like in all this process of redesigning things, a lot of times what happens is something really strikes a chord.
Yeah, it's throwing stuff at the wall, isn't it? And
it is.
Seeing what stays. Yeah,
and some of it is great, but sometimes I think they need to be careful because you have Transformers movie design.
Grant, this is a good point. And I think this was the case, yes. Do you think that the classified Operation Blackout designs are becoming the evergreen designs for Joes and Cobra, kind of like what Transformers did? I believe that's what they were, Grant. I believe that's what, like, this is the kind of evergreen style guide for G.I. Joe. If they're using crossover, that's the evergreen style guide that they're utilizing. And I think it's a good point. And it's an interesting one because those designs, like we've already said, already feel like they're beyond now. They've gone past that particular point and we're in something different again.
They probably put them in a style guide labeled evergreen style guide, and I don't think they should already be dated if that's the case, but
I feel like I'm dated now. I'm too old for this stuff.
I'm too old too.
This is the last weekly we'll ever do, guys. We're bringing it to an end. It's come to a natural conclusion. I'm just kidding, of course. Moving on from Smite, we got gunship battle stuff come through as well, because there's not much more we can talk about with Smite. We've smited the Smite out of it. I should also say Smite is coming April 18th, so 3 days time. So there you go. That's the crossover on when it's coming. Now, Gunship Battle have been posting a ton of these cute little clue. Ooh, who could it be? Clue kind of images. And I mean, it was pretty obvious from the first one what it was going to be. You've got like the broken glass, and in the reflection, you've got all sorts of signposts for Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. That kind of continued on to this particular, the other image to the right, which is the kind of, let's survey the scene, the crime scene, and see if there are any other clues. It's not very clear on the screen there, but there's a grenade under the chair at the back. And obviously you've got like bullet holes in the screen, you've got a smash windscreen. You've also got a reflection of Storm Shadow in one of in one of those windows as well, which is like, if you zoom in on it, you can kind of see it a little bit better. Anyway, they've been doing this a lot, and then we got a few more, and the whole evidence, like, who could it be? Ninja stars, bullet casings, arrows. Was it an Arashikagi patch? Who left that? These guys are supposed to be stealth, and they're just leaving stuff all over the place. It's hilarious.
Their reflections, somehow.
Before I reveal, he says, after revealing Pat, who do you think it is?
I don't know. Maybe there's a clue or two in the next image.
Yeah, a little bit. Might be a stretch, guys, but I'm going to say it's Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. Now,
who's leaving their grenades around is what I want to know.
I know. Unless it's like the pin's out and it's to maim and harm. That just seems very, very lax from two ninjas that should know better, I would say.
Maybe Storm Shadow saw the grenade and he was out of there so fast like a cartoon that his reflection stayed. That's the implication.
Just that little gut, like smoke ball left behind. I want to see a Snake Eyes Storm Shadow fight that is just a ball of like dust with legs and arms and swords and stuff coming out of it, like in an old kind of funny cartoon style. That's what I want to see on the next animation. So, yeah, and obviously yesterday we got this reveal as well, which, you know, they went into it. It's coming soon, basically, and it's going to be a Storm Shadow Snake Eyes crossover for Gunship Battle Total Warfare. Now, we've had... we had like the core character hump. Sorry, there's a plane going over and it sounds like it's literally landing on our roof.
Yeah, I started wondering if it was going over my place. It was so clear.
It's literally landing on our roof right now. There's going to be another crossover. Now, we've had in the past, we've had a G.I. Joe crossover in Gunship Battle Total Warfare. I tried it out for a couple of months, but really just never got anywhere near the G.I. Joe stuff, really. As much, you know, you had to pay for it effectively, or you had to put all of your time into it. And I just didn't have either of those things really to play with. So, again, I will, you know, I'll warn people going into this game. It is one of those things, if you expect to see G.I. Joe stuff immediately, yes, there'll be cutscenes. Yes, there'll be like little, you know, you'll see the characters talking to, you know, the admirals and stuff like that. You'll see all of that stuff, but you'll never really get to that point if you're not paying to kind of play on this one. So like I said, if you have played it and you do play it and you enjoy it, great. That is, you know, even better. But this is one of those things where you either have to be a veteran in this game or you have to really put some time into it and money to get to the kind of G.I. Joe stuff. Did you have an opportunity to play any of this, by the way, Pat?
No, I'm so limited on time that, I think that I've tried out like one or two games in the time that you've been reporting on all these games that have these crossovers. And I think they're great. They're really spreading G.I. Joe out in front of where they need to put it. I think that these have been excellent for getting the G.I. Joe name out there. They're doing a really good job and they're keeping at it. It's not like there's been one or two and then done. It just feels like every month there's a different game that's going to have a G.I. Joe crossover in it.
I did on the news burst. I listed them all out. I cut it out for this particular video at the beginning of this, but I listed them out, and it just went on and on and on and on. It was incredible. You know, Fortnite and World of Tanks and Smite and Gunship Battle Total Warfare and Operation Blackout, which is technically its own game. It's not like a crossover or anything. But there's even more as well that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. There's loads. Which is great. Again, like you say, it's great to get the kind of, you know, the brand kind of out there. Also, I had to post that from Yorktown, Joe. That's too funny. In the fight, the animated fight with all of the dust in the arms, there's definitely going to be Scooby-Doo background sound. Absolutely. 100%. Thank you, mate. Anyway, yeah. So that, yeah, there you go. That's all of the gaming news this week. Obviously, I'm more excited, and I have to say I'm more excited for the AAA Snake Eyes game that's in development. That is something that I am really excited about. That's where my focus is going to be. When that comes out, I'm buying that. I'm definitely playing it. I'm going to put some time into that 100%. I'm very excited to see what comes of that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, even if I don't have time to completely beat the game, I never finished Operation Blackout. I have a feeling, though, this is going to be a much better game than Blackout.
I think it has to be. Like, I did enjoy Operation Blackout, but it was a one-and-done scenario. It has no longevity. There's no, like, going back and doing it again to, you know... There's things to collect, 100%, if you want to complete it. But I don't know. It's definitely one of those things where I enjoyed it at the time. I got what I wanted out of it, and then it was kind of like, okay, that's, you know, I'm probably never going to go back to that one. It's worth completing it just for, like, again, like the fun storyline and the campaign and everything. But other than that, zero longevity. I think if we can get a really decent open game coming, like a bit more of an open concept, even though obviously, yeah, it's got to have like a campaign that takes you in a certain direction. But if we can get some online multiplayer going on, I think that will make it more popular. The fact that he didn't have that for Operation Blackout immediately hindered it. And I know COVID had a lot to do with that. They wanted to kind of have people like go back to the roots and be with each other and play it and stuff. But then COVID hit, and it was like, well, that's pointless. You're not gonna do that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, plus it's not like I have a ton of big G.I. Joe fans right immediately around me.
Yeah.
So it would have been really nice to have been able to connect with somebody who had the game. You know, if we could have just sat down and played.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. Well, that is gaming news this week, and that's taken far longer than I expected it to, but that's how it goes. Moving on then, and we have got a little bit of Diamond Select Toys Minimates news. Diamond Select Toys have been very busy with the reveals this week, including two brand new sets of G.I. Joe related Minimates. The sets will feature characters from the Adventure Team and Super Joe eras. There isn't a great deal of extra info right now, but expect more news soon regarding release dates and packaging, etc. Didn't have enough time to drink then, did you, Pat?
That no, was a I short didn't. One. Surprised me.
Pat was expecting like a minute, minute and a half. No, that was.
And then you just kind of trailed off.
Minimates, and off we go. Right, yes, here we are then, Minimates. So this is interesting. We've got some talking points, I guess, here.
Yeah.
One of them is, obviously, if we start with the first... actually, before we do start on this, I do want to give a shout-out to Adventures in Collecting. If you don't follow Adventures in Collecting on like Facebook and Twitter and all those, then please do so. They're amazing. They're really good guys and awesome... And they're always doing stuff. They're always interviewing people, and they've always got they're the ear to the ground basically on a lot of this stuff. So they'll get a lot of this news sometimes even first. So shout out to the guys at Adventures in Collecting. They're awesome. Now, they posted first up G.I. Joe Super Adventure Team Minimates box set. Now, this is effectively Super Joe. Obviously, it's Super Joe. You can see the designs. This is an interesting one, isn't it, Pat? Because obviously we've got this Super Joe Unlimited thing happening at the moment, which is trademark, but not IP, right?
Right. So but some of the things that they are putting out do look for sure like the IP. And as far as I know, they just have the trademark.
Right. Again, that's what my understanding of it. We can't obviously go into the details because we don't know them, but for that, it's just interesting and probably worth saying that now we've got this officially licensed, clearly Hasbro officially licensed Super Joe box set.
Yeah, the timing on this seems to be curious, because the only other time I can think of since the original Super Joe that there was anything official, like from Hasbro Super Joe, was the club putting out the 12-inch versions of these characters. Because the Super Joe toys are not 12-inch toys. They're like a, what is it, like an 8-inch, I think?
Yeah, it's like about 8-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the only time that I can think of. And the club was kind of blending in the Super Joe story with the Adventure Team at the time, having a Gore, actually, and Darkon kind of blended into a similar character, I think.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about this is like the timing of it. And obviously we've got... The
timing of this is curious, for sure.
We have got a 60th anniversary coming up in 2024. We've seen leaked listings for classified, possible classified 60th related product. And this coming out... like now in terms of reveal, I don't know, this looks probably more likely to come out this year than it would next year. But it's possible that this could be early reveals and then we don't see anything until 2024 and they bring it out in 2024 for the 60th, which would line up fairly nicely with the Adventure Team. Not completely, obviously, because obviously there's a lot more.
Do they not do clear mini-mates? Is that not a thing that they ever do, is like a completely clear figure? Because going back to the other picture, you have a Luminos there.
Yeah, but this could also be early
mock-up. That's kind of what I'm asking, just to get an understanding of what I should expect to see with Luminos. Should I expect to see him in all white or in clear?
I don't know.
I don't think they do chromed either, because the shield there would definitely benefit from some chrome.
I imagine, I think we may be seeing early reveals here. I don't think we have any. There are translucent mini-mates. Thank you very much, Slave.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was hoping somebody would know.
This is one of those ones where I don't think, Diana's made a point here. How long would these have taken to develop? That's the thing. Like, I don't think a great deal, you know, like for the most part, they probably share the same parts most of the time, arms, legs, even the body, the waist and everything. And then some elements are newly molded, different. So they probably, you know, it's one of those things where there's probably a much, much shorter development period for, you know, a set of mini mates. And that's the thing, like the reason I'm saying these could be 2023 is because when we've seen mini-mates in the past, when they've been revealed, they've like it hasn't been a great wait time to get them in hand. I remember when that box set was revealed, I had it within like a couple of weeks. So, you know, and that was during like peak pandemic time. So I don't know. I think maybe this could be a really early mock-ups, or we could be looking at like, you know, this is what we're pretty much going to see. It's hard to say. We don't know the answer, but that is a good point, Pat, to make. It could be a translucent figure rather than an all white one that we see. And it could be more, there could be chrome on that shield. So you never know. But like I said before, we've got the G.I. Joe Adventure Team as well. Now, like I was saying, we've got the 60th in 2024. So it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see these until 2024. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And they were bringing them out for that particular reason, to have like 60th packaging and all that kind of stuff. Because they've done interesting packaging for mini-mates already for us, haven't they, with the Ninja Force set, the VHS set. So I think we might be in for some sort of like celebratory packaging here.
Yeah, probably something 60th related for sure.
Yeah. And then again, like I do love this little set though. I love Bullet Man. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and this set is all based on 12-inch figures. So it is interesting that we're getting a little bit of both and that they've divided them up.
Yeah.
Bullet Man really hasn't gotten much of anything over the years either. There was the custom figure from the club years ago, right? Yeah. And then not really much else.
The only time I ever saw Bullet Man was in the Revolution crossover, when they do a flashback to Adventure Team time. There might have been another one in, I think actually no, he was in Snake Eyes, wasn't he? Was he in Dead Game, guys? Let me know. I can't remember if he was in Dead Game or not. if you showed up in that. There was a moment when a few of the old school characters turn up in Dead Game randomly. I'm pretty sure Bullet Man's in it. And there's another story I'm sure Bullet Man showed up in. Actually, he showed up quite a lot in the comics. Did he show up, guys, in the there was a spin-off miniseries for A Real American Hero, and it had like Mike Power in it, and was Bullet Man in that? I can't remember. Let me know. I think Diana would remember. She'd know. Anyway, interesting. Now, Jeffrey Smith has asked an interesting question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Do you think Super Joe or Adventure Team characters will come to the classified line? Well, Jeffrey, like I just said before, there have been leaked listings for two 60th classified figures. Now, Pat and I have speculated on this already, haven't we, Pat? And there's that thing of like, we might see something from that first year, like, you know, an action soldier or something along those lines, right? But it could be that we see Joe Colton and like G.I. Jane or something. That's a possibility, right?
Right. And I think that the Adventure Team figures with the beard, you know, the flocked hair look for G.I. Joe is such an iconic look that maybe that is the direction they're going to go rather than the 1964. It's hard to say what they're going to do. I mean, I don't think that listing is Bullet Man, but that's no reason why Bullet Man can't be later on down the road.
Yeah. I think we'd probably get more than two figures for a 60th celebration, even like in classified as well. Maybe they're going to do them and see how they fare.
I was just going to say, see how they sell. The crazy thing about that, though, is that how
the development time
four figure will do is completely different than how a Bullet Man would do. It's just a totally different design style.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and also like, you might find that Bullet Man might be more popular due to the fact that he's quirky looking, interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like necessarily one of those things where people would buy it because they know it. They might buy it because it looks awesome and the dude's giant bullet.
Yeah, my favorite Bullet Man moment, I don't know who it was. It was somebody who had a vintage Bullet Man at one of the conventions.
And the zip line.
Yes. Were you there for that?
I wasn't there. I've seen the images and heard the stories though. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know they took pictures of it.
There was a couple of images. Well, I think we used it for a podcast when we talked about it once. But yeah, I vaguely remember them at the bottom of the zip line on the image and the one of them like the Bullet Man being at the bottom and he's taking it off the zip line.
Yeah, it's because he has those loops on his back. That's what the intended play feature is for him. But they had done it, you know, in the hotel, like several stories up, and just this huge, like really long, rather than like where the parachute drop was that year.
Bullet
Man made an appearance later in the night.
Amazing. Anyway, so that's Mini Mates. Again, like we've probably discussed all we can on that one. I think that's about it. Cool. Right. Then let's. Invaders. Yeah, I remember that one, Diane. I remember the Invaders. This specifically Bullet Man, I think, turned up in he's been in Dead Game. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty sure he was in the Revolution crossover when they do the flashback. And also, I just have this feeling that he was in that miniseries. I forget what the spin-off was now. Do you remember what it was, Pat? It was only like a three-issue miniseries off A Real American Hero, very recent times.
I don't remember, no.
Oh, what was it called? But it was like it was a throwback to all of like it was a vintage throwback, effectively, to a mission that included Mike Power and a couple of others. But it was like the 80s A Real American Hero team lineup as well.
I prefer the Palitoy Bullet Man too. It'd be nice to see if this Bullet Man, if you turn him around, if he has the rocket boosters on the back of his boots. Because the Palitoy Bullet Man, in my opinion, is a little bit nicer.
Awesome. We're going to be talking about Palitoy a little bit in the shout outs as well. And I wonder if a Palitoy Bullet Man might appear in what we're going to be talking about. But we will come back to that one.
That you already had a thought about that.
Well, it's about something else, but it will connect. It will link. Have no fear. Anyway, right. I can't remember what that miniseries was. It's gonna really bug me.
It will come to you right after we're done.
Oh, after I'm done, definitely. After I'm done. Someone might have even mentioned it and I've just missed it. But anyway, I'll get there. And I remember reviewing it with blooming Brian Hickey as well. We've done a whole... We did a comics first about it. Okay, enough of this. We'll just be here all day otherwise. That's Minimates news. I have no idea about when they're coming out, how much they're going to be, or when what packaging they're going to have. But like I said, more information will follow soon. Okay, then.
Oh, I'm silly. There's even clear parts to a Minimate right there.
Oh, yeah, on his leg.
And his arm, yeah.
On his Mike Power, yeah, definitely.
So I wonder if they're just not planning on having Luminos be clear.
Again, it might be because it's more... I don't know. Maybe they... Yeah, I don't know. You think they would, looking at the figure. There's nothing on... Yeah, maybe it's to get the design on the figure. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll eventually find out, won't we? $6 million man, thank you, Bo. It was that, wasn't it? It was the G.I. Joe, whatever the other comic, the IDW kind of crossover with another company. Was it Boom? Whoever had $6 million man, but yes, that's what it was, Bo. Thank you so much, you absolute genius. That's what I was trying to remember, thank you. It was G.I. Joe versus a $6 million man. Yeah, okay. Right then, on to the next news story, which is the final news story of the week. I don't know how we've really dragged this out, haven't we? We've dragged out Minimates and gaming somehow. How do we do this, Pat?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
We're literally pulling teeth this week, aren't we? Okay, next up then is classified news. Yes, we have our first in-hand look at the upcoming Target-exclusive G.I. Joe classified series Python Patrol Crimson Guard, courtesy of Felipe G.I. Joe and Siamsul Sam III. The first images to drop from Felipe showed the now old-fashioned, in more ways than one, non-plastic full-art packaging, the figure in the interior tray, and of course, out of the box with all the gear on, from the front, side, and back. The figure looks great and comes with all of the expected accessories, the rifle, backpack, dagger, sword and sheath, and pistol. Tiger Force Outback also makes a cameo and he looks very intrigued by the new figure. Following that, we got even more images from Siamsul Sam III, who gave us a few more close-ups and comparisons with the modern 4-inch figure, as well as the classified Python Patrol Viper. The coolest shot, however, shows the left upper arm Python Patrol logo tampo. You can see that the modern 4-inch figure was almost certainly the inspiration for that tampo, as they have a similar one on that figure as well. This is very cool and a nice addition that only the Battle Android Trooper had been given on its chest plate cover up until now. The comparison shot with the Viper also shows that the yellow colour on both figures is slightly different. Not that that is a deal breaker, of course, this is the Python Patrol after all. I have to say I love this deco on the Crimson Guard and they have done a great job in transposing the vintage scheme onto this classified figure. I will definitely be picking this one up for sure and look forward to when the Crimson Guard and Tiger Force Dusty actually get their official reveals and pre-orders, etc. Can't be too long now. It can't be surely too long now. It seems weird that we haven't actually seen these figures officially revealed yet. I don't know how that's going to happen. I guess maybe some sort of like Target event. Do they have a, what's it called? It's not a Collecticon like Walmart, but it's something similar, isn't it?
Yeah, they do sometimes have a thing that they'll do like every day they're going to reveal something. And they've done that just for Jurassic Park sometimes.
Yeah. I just hope we get something. I hope we see it soon, basically. I don't think I've got a feeling they're not going to do like a special live event to reveal them from the Hasbro brand team necessarily, because they didn't do anything for the Walmart Collecticon one. That was just done by Walmart. So I expect, probably when they do their fall geek out. Yeah, it was a geek out and it's in fall.
That's
so it's probably be before fall, I would imagine, considering we'll have them in hand before then, surely. So anyway,
geek out or something, maybe.
Yeah, summer geek out. They've done lots of different ones, haven't they? Collector's spot, Brett. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. The figure. I think this is my favorite Python Patrol figure so far. I think the deco is beautiful. I like it even more when people say don't understand it. The more comments we get about people saying, but how can it be a Crimson Guard now? The more I like it.
That always struck me as weird, even with the original figure. I just was just like wondering why they didn't just call it Python Guard.
Of course, this is weird. It is a weird, yeah, Python Patrol Guard would be what you'd call it, effectively.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is also G.I. Joe. Logic doesn't always dictate.
Well, plus, like, the fact that there is some crimson in the Python Patrol, or at least some red.
A little bit.
In the Python Patrol design, they could have played that up as the major color. You know, just swap out the yellows and the reds on this, as far as the original figure goes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if you did it...
You have a lot of gray.
If you did it all red instead of all yellow on the body and arms,
yeah,
I'm not sure it would be distinct enough. I know it would obviously have gray legs and a gray chest.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how it would be kind of... I mean, they could have reused the arms, at least, couldn't they? From the previous Crimson Guard. So, as in, like, you know, not have to redeco them or anything.
I'm not saying that they should have done that for this figure. I'm just thinking back to the 80s, whenever they were designing those original ones. And yeah, they just made the figure look very different. And yet, it still has that name.
Okay, W says they bleed red, Pat. So...
True.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
They should have just done the whole team this way. Like Crimson Guards, red ninjas that are yellow, and some blue ninjas that are gray or
dude,
something.
No need. We have a red ninja that's all sorts of stupid colors.
Do we?
Yeah, in the Ninja Force, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is
I just out-nerded Pat, guys.
He's mostly blue and orange, isn't he?
Yeah, he's all over. There's no red in that figure at all. B's Battleground says, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Thank you very much. I just wanted to do that in the voice. Do you know what? This has made me think about something now. Diana just mentioned the Crimson Guards, right? The twins. Do we kind of need Python Patrol twins? Because of the Crimson Guard?
Yeah, it's like, are they just not in charge of these ones? Just go do your thing? You're part of the Python Patrol now? I don't know.
Pretty sure that I've never seen the Crimson Twins as Python Patrol figures, ever.
I think I've seen some customs of that. I think I have.
I'm not saying that is a deal breaker and that they don't exist. But I don't think I've ever seen them done as that. Obviously, yeah, I mean, if you have, that exists 100%. And I'm sure, like, every idea has been done. I'm not saying this is an original idea. But I would argue that if we were to get the twins again, obviously, it looks like we're going to get them as Crimson, in all Crimson, which is kind of expected from that leaked listing for PulseCon, I think it is, with Baroness. And the other... But I think if they were to do another repaint of those, I wouldn't be upset to see them as a two-pack Python Patrol deco. I think that'd be so dope.
Yeah, that would be a good set because of the inclusion of the Crimson Guard. I think sometimes there's a temptation to make every figure into Python Patrol.
I don't know. Sometimes we had this conversation a while back, didn't we? And we were talking about...
So. Tiger Force.
Yeah, we were talked about that thing of like some characters make sense for like a sub team. Some characters, like, you could see it happen. Like the Snow Serpent, I always thought would make for a brilliant Python Patrol redeco. But there are others that I don't think that is the case. Like, I wouldn't have picked half of the figures that went in the later six pack or whatever
right.
it was.
50 right. pack. Same here.
I wouldn't have picked like Laser Viper and Rock Viper
or Heat Viper. Yeah.
Heat Viper. I wouldn't have picked those necessarily for Python Patrol, but they're in it and therefore it's canon and I have to abide by historical rules. But and it's in my OCD now to abide by that. But I never would have put those in there necessarily. I think there's a few that stand out for me when you take in all the into consideration all of the other factors that go into what makes a 80s repaint. And we, like I said, we talked about this, haven't we, where we've gone like, who were the figures at the time? Who were the figures in that year? And then who are the ones that needed a repaint? And who are the ones that it works for? And we kind of have, yeah. I'm not sure if we've done this as a monthly, or have we just discussed this at length?
I think that we did do it as a monthly. I think maybe we talked about it with Night Force. I think that was part of the discussion of Night Force.
Right.
Monthly.
So, yeah. So I guess, like, in this case, I would have to say that, you know, when you put all those rules into place, there's only a few that I think would work perfectly as Python Patrol read echoes. Yeah. And then some, I just think, yeah, it just seems to be quite random.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with those new ones, like you were saying. It almost feels like the new ones are any figures that were new after the original Python Patrol figures came out almost belong in that the six-pack deco from Toys R Us.
Yeah. Diana says, Python Patrol assimilates all. There will be no resistance. 100%. Oh, that's a good shout. Night Viper Python Patrol would be dope, says Pass the Pierogi. I like that as an option. I like that very much so. Grant, Super 7 have yet to show their Tiger Force and Python Patrol reaction figures, but even more, the listings that have been leaked already went up on BBTS or something this week. So yeah, that's interesting too, 100%, Grant, yeah. Can't wait to see what they've done with that, because I just know it's going to be bonkers. It's Super 7.
And it's characters that I wouldn't have necessarily put in Python Patrol, so I'm curious to see what they've done.
It's the core group, isn't it, basically?
Yeah,
it's
like Cobra Commander, Python Patrol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Cobra Commander, Destro, Baroness,
yeah.
Duke, Scarlet.
Not in Python Patrol, Duke.
Snake Eyes.
Not Snake in Python Eyes? Patrol.
No, I think... yeah. actually, I'll reword it to make sense, Pat. Invasor as Python Patrol.
Okay.
Do I get around it? Is that a way to get around that? It is, isn't it? But yeah, Grant, I can't wait for that. And hopefully we'll be seeing images of those soon. Yeah. Right. Yes, we do need armored Cobra Commander, 100%.
I agree. I was just going to say that.
Just looking at these images, though, Pat, what are your thoughts on this particular figure, I should ask you? We haven't even talked about the Python Crimson Guard, really.
Scaled up from the original figure, they've added in some details, I think, that we've talked about before. I really like the red inside the visor.
Oh, yeah.
Avoids it looking too plain. I think that was a good choice, for sure.
Big time.
And then, of course, the black Cobra logo. It feels like the original Python Patrol figure, because it had so much deco with the Pythonization pattern that they dropped some of the other deco that was on the original figure.
Yeah.
So this kind of put that back in. And I think that's a good choice.
I bet when they were decoing this, when they looked at it without the sigil, it probably looked quite bare. There's probably a lot of surface area there that's going on. They thought, it needs a logo. And I obviously it's slightly different with the modern 4-inch version, because of the way that the torso splits.
Yeah.
I mean, the logo would either have to
put a logo on there, obviously, though.
Might have had to be a bit smaller, or they'd have to kind of
cross over. It would be smaller than what the 6-inch figure is, but there was a logo on the standard Crimson Guard.
Yeah.
So they could have done it.
Yeah. No, you're right, 100%. Now, the other nice little kind of addition is the arm tampo, the Python Patrol logo. Now, on the 4-inch version, this isn't a tampo necessarily. It's just painted sculpt, isn't it, on the arm?
Yeah.
So, but just for ease of me discussing it in the video, I just mentioned that, it kind of like a nod to that particular figure, because there's nothing on the original vintage figure, I don't think.
Right. And then the Python Patrol logo did end up on the arms of the Python convention set figures.
Yes. Yeah. So I do like that they added it here. Are you happy that they did an extra tampo touch on this?
Yeah, I think that's a great choice to break up all the yellow. And the fact that they didn't go with the full color Python Patrol logo like the club did,
yeah,
I think kind of makes the color palette a little more consistent. I don't know that having it in color necessarily would look that good.
Yeah, like a patch of the whole original logo, yeah. No, that's cool, man. I'm really excited for this one. I still can't believe we haven't seen this or Tiger Force Dusty officially revealed yet, but it's got to be pretty soon now. In any case, in the description below, guys, there is a video review of this particular figure from X-Scorpio. I'd have added it to some of the images in here, but it didn't, you know, you can see it. We can see the figure. It looks awesome. Well, in my opinion, it does. I'm not speaking for everybody, obviously. That's a good pack. This is a good point, Pat, from the figure six pack. The Python guard with a red visor makes it look like a Cylon. It has got that Cylon vibe going on, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Cute butt. It is a cute butt, Diana, isn't it? Very cute. Anyway, there we go. We have covered all the news.
That's everything?
Minus one wisdom tooth. Now we're on to shout-outs, buddy, if you're cool with moving on.
I am cool with that.
All right, then. We'll see you after this little message from our sponsor.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organising it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
What are you waiting for? Yes, get to hoarding indeed. Now, shout outs. Buddy, we'll start with you. Go for it.
Shout out as always to Philip. Sorry, I'm still so busy.
It's just an apology now, isn't it?
It's my weekly apology to Philip until I get the new episode edited and get off my butt and do that.
Amazing.
Sink my teeth into that.
Yeah, sink your teeth in. 100%. We're going to need a bigger boat for the shout outs. It's a Jaws reference, I guess. Is that too soon, Pat?
Oh, okay. So that was a roundabout way of bringing it back to the teeth.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That was probably a bit too soon. I mean, we were 17 at the time, but that I still think we should probably not talk about.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a little while. More than half my age ago.
Oh, sad. That's sad, isn't it? Yeah. When did this happen, by the way? When did we wake up and all of a sudden it's like we're in this period of our life?
I have no idea.
I'm still 8 years old.
I'm still staring at G.I. Joe's and not noticing that I've turned into an old man. Actually, I kind of cut off a lot of the gray hair, didn't I?
Yeah, you've done well. Yeah. Is that the Grecian 3-2000 or whatever it's called?
No, it's just, you know, maybe underneath the gray hair was a little more brown. I don't know what's going on.
Is that like when you get less stressed, or have you just been more, is that just not possible?
Maybe I'm just too busy to notice or to remember to get my hair the correct color for my age.
Amazing. Anyway, yeah, I don't know when it happened, but I woke up and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is the phase of the life I'm in. Yet my brain has not evolved since 1989. It's gone nowhere. It has literally stayed the same to this point. And that just upsets me beyond belief. Zero maturity, unfortunately. Pastor Progi says Operation Die Job.
It's Night Force Pat. That's what I had to prepare.
Yes! Pat's my animal companion, and I've changed the color of his hair in much the same way that Spearhead and Max had a similar relationship. I do feel like it's the old farts club, Jeffrey. I do feel like that. Yeah, definitely. Anyway. Yeah, okay. So, shout out to Phil, of course. Phil. I hope you're having a good time, buddy. Hope you're having a nice weekend. It's only just started, but we hope it's a good one. Shout out to my fam in the UK and the US, of course. Mum and Dad are on holiday at the moment, enjoying a nice little break. So shout out to them. Hope you're having fun, guys. And also massive shout out to the US crew. And of course, Kate and Phoebes, who I'm not near at the moment. I'm on my own. I've gone to an isolated place in order to get a better internet connection.
I was just going to say, you haven't frozen even once this week.
I know. It's great, isn't it? Now, the latency issue, update on that, is that I contacted Cox last week and went probably for about 20 to 30 minutes before they told me I couldn't do anything about it because I wasn't the name on the policy. Can you believe that? I'm like, well, okay, then they're going to have to speak to the better half of the McLeod team. So, yeah. Anyway, so that was annoying. Anyway, it's irrelevant to everyone else, but hopefully we've had a bit of a smoother stream today. And I'll probably do most of it from this location from now on. shout out as well to Peppermint Oil Capsule for a super chat. Thank you very much. 5 p.m. EST, 80s Action Force special on Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse. Not to be missed, guys. Go check them out. Go follow them and subscribe, of course, on YouTube. That's Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse. Thank you, Peppermint Oil Capsule, for the consistent and continued support of our channel. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Anyway, Talking Joe says, does Phil even exist? Has anyone ever seen Phil and Pat in the same room? I actually have seen Phil and Pat in the same room multiple times. So yeah, I can say yes, that he does exist. He does. We should get him on the show at some point, shouldn't we, really?
Yeah, feels, and then he can shout me out.
Finally. About time. Anyway, Mark Seddon, hope you're doing well, buddy. And, of course, Tim as well, Tim Finn on Talking Joe. Love you guys. Yeah, okay then. That's that. Shout out to everybody. Love to the fam. What was I going to say other than that? Oh, while I'm in the family zone, I will also give a shout out to, of course, the people that worked on removing my wisdom tooth. This is all you're going to hear about for the next couple of weeks. Sorry, guys. First, it was the appendectomy that I had when they took my appendix out. That was
what I spoke about
for like ages and kept bringing it up like it was anyone cared. And now it's going to be the wisdom tooth scenario. So big shout out to Epic Dental in Norwood, Mass. And to the wonderful people, Dr. Liv Shin and the rest of the team who removed this bad boy. And somehow I've gone 3 days with zero pain. So thank you very much. You guys rock. Okay. Next up, Brian Sauer for our graphics. Big shout out to Brian. And thank you very much, dude, for all of the amazing work you've done for us recently. Probably will be getting you to use even more because we've got, bear with me, guys, we have lined up next week. These aren't going to be live, so I'll have to do some editing, of course. The Super 7 interview with Brian Flynn is next week. So that's a big one that we're going to be doing. And also next week, I don't know how I'm going to fit all this in. It's going to be so much work, and I hate myself already for it. The big Hasbro interview with Emily and Lenny is happening next week as well. So we'll be getting some info on lots of different things, all the packaging and all that kind of good stuff. A little bit of design talk with Lenny about the all the new figures that are out and everything. And of course, chat with Emily as well on other aspects of the brand too. So that should be really fun. And I'm really excited to do those two interviews with Hasbro and Super 7. Cannot wait. So big shout out to those guys as well. Yeah, they're coming, guys. Do not worry. I will be shilling it up. Have no fear. Netflix and shill. Then also big shout out to Dan Klingon Smith Jr. for successfully funding his volume 11, Creating G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero. It's currently, and this time I have prepped, currently at $20,698. So they breezed through the original, like the initial stretch, the initial funding goal, 293 backers, 63 hours to go. So there you go. Get involved. Link in the description. Go pledge. And are there stretch goals on it? There are, aren't there? I'm sure there are.
I don't think so. I don't know that he normally does stretch goals.
Maybe there isn't. Maybe I don't think there are.
Before.
Oh, there might be.
I think he did a card back at one point as a stretch goal that made it. So maybe.
No. There's just rewards. Yeah.
Okay.
For like certain levels. Okay, cool. Well, anyway, go pledge and push that into the stratosphere. So thank you, Dan. And yeah, good luck with the rest of that with the 63 hours to go. That will be complete by next week. So, well, obviously, in 63 hours, it'll be complete. So we won't have to keep shouting them out all the time. I mean, Dan K getting in on the shout outs all the time. Blimey. Also, Kickstarter, this popped up today. Bob Breakin is doing a book on Kickstarter called My Palatoy Story. How awesome is that, Pat?
That sounds amazing. Yeah. So this is going to be like a novel, like that he's written, not pictures.
I think it's going to be a bit of both. I think it's going to be very much in the vein. We don't know 100% yet. Obviously, we're going to be finding out when it hits Kickstarter. This is coming soon.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know all the details yet, but I imagine it will be along the lines of what we've seen with Brian and Paddy's books, with the kind of like the kind of the written aspect with image backup and all that kind of stuff. So very excited about that, because Brian Hickey's also involved, by the way. How did I not know that? I feel embarrassed to not realize that Brian Hickey's name is on the book. Amazing.
It's he'll have the awesome photography to back up whatever story he wants to tell. It totally makes sense.
Design by Brian Hickey. Can I just say, I only posted this, only popped up before when I was preparing the show, this like, you know, to go live and everything. So it was kind of like rushed to get it up there. I didn't even realize Brian was involved in this. That is unbelievably cool. I'm going to yell at him for not telling me about this now, because, you know, what the hell, Brian? This is incredible. I'm very excited. This, and the cover looks fantastic. We've got, obviously, Star Wars is going to be involved in this. Action Man, you know, early Palator years, the Robo Skull and Action Force is going to be involved in this. This is great. This is great. Two Robo Skull books, technically. Yes, RKW. Yes, second book with a Robo Skull. Yeah, because we've got Total Robo Skull to come for the Mark II's Kickstarter itself. So yeah, oh, this is great. The more Brian and Paddy style books we get, honestly, the happier I become, because those things are just the best. So really excited for this. Cannot wait to speak to Bob about it as well. Maybe we'll get Bob on to talk about it when it actually drops as well. That would probably be worth doing. Get That'd Bob be amazing, and Brian. Yeah. We'll get Bob and Brian on for an interview when this is kind of close to dropping, or when it does drop, and we'll go through all of the ins and outs of it, because that is something we definitely have to do. Yes, also, sorry, someone's just mentioning they're giving support to A Toy Kind of Mood as well. Of course, A Toy Kind of Mood. Shout out to Travis and all the guys involved, A Toy Kind of Mood. Yeah, good guys and really good channel, so check them out as well. But anyway, yes, Bob Breakin, My Palatoy Story, designed by Brian Hickey. Oh my goodness. I'm even more excited knowing Brian's involved.
Yeah, no, I this is the first I've heard of this at all.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I only posted it a few minutes before we went live. So very, very cool. Okay. Also, if you want to check out Justin and my deep conversation into the recent movie news, you can go and do that right now. We posted the video a couple of days ago. In basically as just the two of us discussing Paramount's possible reboot of the G.I. Joe franchise again, with the possibility that Michael Keaton might be involved. So that's an interesting one to check out. Go watch that right after this one as well, because obviously I know you guys don't have anything else to do this weekend. It's not like you have lives. That is just a joke, by the way. I know you do. And it's 20 minutes. So just putting it out there. It's a lot of Justin just talking for a long period of time. So bear that in mind as well. Just kidding. Ray Murphy says, Keaton for Cobra Commander. That's a good shout, actually, Ray. We do actually talk about that in the video as well. So yeah, go check it out. It's fun. Other than that, massive shout out to our viewers, our listeners, our patrons, everybody who supports the show, everyone comments, all of you guys. We love all of the support. It's amazing. And thank you so much for another cracking episode as well, Pat.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on. It's always fun.
Was it like pulling teeth at the end of it?
No, the beginning was like pulling teeth. I hope we didn't make anyone leave.
Yeah, we did. I think we went from like 100 and something to about 5 when did I started we? Talking. No.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully that didn't put anyone off, but I'll be talking about it for a long time now. I'll probably be mentioning it in every news burst. Like, update, wisdom tooth update, still no pain. Anyway.
You're not taking any sort of pain medication either.
I am, but okay. They said do this in the following days, and then I'm going to stop. So I did it the first day, obviously the second day, which was yesterday, and I started it today. I'm going to stop by tonight. So I won't be doing it going into the next day. Here we go. I'm hardcore. I don't care. It's just a bit of pain, isn't it? He says, knowing that Pat had his entire jaw removed. Man, that's crazy.
It was rough.
Do you remember it happening, or were you under at the time?
No, well, I was put under, like, you know, it was four teeth they were doing. They were all, like, they hadn't started coming through the gums yet, but they were going up into the teeth. So they had to put me under. But, the cracking of it woke me up.
Oh, despite my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's enough talking about this. Let's... removed all my wisdom now. Anyway, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure, other than the horrible horror stories of poor Pat's terrible wisdom tooth removal. We will be back next week. Like I said, we've got interviews coming next week with Brian Flynn, Super 7, and the Hasbro G.I. Joe brand team. And I've got more name-only deep dives for Mutton Junkyard and Big Boa to come. We've also got we're recording the Night Force monthly special next week. We should have done that on Friday, but I couldn't because it didn't happen. Sorry. So we'll do that next week, and it should be out towards the end of April. But yeah, got loads happening. And then hopefully I'll be able to do some more unboxings in the week as well. But anyway, yeah, lots to come, loads of content coming your way. And that's it for today. You know what to do at the end of all these episodes. Well, I hope Pat knows. After three, Pat. One.
I think I remember.
Two. Are you sure?
I think.
Three.
Full force.
Was the amount of force they used to remove all of our wisdom teeth, wasn't it?
Right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.